Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. Fuck it up the audience. Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Brancher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot. You moron. You stupid bitch.
Happy New Year. First or second week of January. We're talking about Tenet.
This is Brad Raylan. Hi.
It is indeed.
Hi. You're who?
I'm Katie Cassidy.
Oh, and I'm Aaron Brancher. Yeah, Tenet. None of us are really in love with this movie, are we?
No. I thought it was entertaining. It's got some cool sequences, but the plot is definitely confusing when it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the plot is confusing as much as the dialogue and editing is confusing. It's a very similar... I had brought this up to you the other day about... It's a lot like Six Underground, that Michael Bay Netflix movie, in the way that that plot is pretty streamlined, but the way it's edited and the dialogue goes by so quick, you almost never know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then the storytelling's so frantic... That it makes that movie has the simplest plot ever, and they explain what a coup is like 12 times in the movie because they think you're that dumb. This movie does the same thing where it's just like, no, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, it's and so
they
heavy.
Explain it in the fastest, most like dumb way possible.
Well, also to add in the confusion, like every piece, it seems like every dialogue sequence is done during a walk and talk. You got a lot of outside sounds and noises going on. And it's two people strolling along, agreeing with each other.
Yeah, talking sounds faster. And noises are a big problem.
And or they have an accent, which you can't pick. You're like, and without subtitles, you're not going to pick up a lot.
Yeah,
at least I didn't. I picked up a lot more watching it the second time because we watched it at home, or at your place, and we had subtitles, and I could, especially when he's talking with the Priya character.
Is that the first scientist?
That's the woman when they get to the house. And
she's the woman married to the guy that they go to kill.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Spoilers, obviously.
Yeah, definitely spoilers.
Yeah, the dialogue is awful.
I feel like it only is there to serve as like an exposition dump, and it's so just like convoluted and heavy in it.
You could not hide it as an exposition dump. You could hide it in a way that wouldn't feel like it. Like... Inception is a more confusing movie to a level than this. It should be a more confusing movie than this. But the way the dialogue is delivered in this movie, me and you were making a joke about it, and I was like, so, Humpty Dumpty, you know him? You're like, yeah, he sat on a wall. Yeah, then he had a great fall. What happened afterwards? The pieces filled back in on themselves. Everybody's talking at 12 miles an hour, or like, 20 miles an hour, and they're all just fucking faster than 20. But you get what I'm saying. Everybody's talking super fast, and they're all everybody knows what everybody else already knows.
Yeah, so they're saying it just to, like, waterboard us with an exposition dump.
Like, protagonist knows everything, but yet he should be our eyes into the story because he literally gets killed and then he wakes up and he's, he's pulled into this. He should be our eyes into the story, which he kind of is because we should be learning all this along with him. But at the same time, that character knows everything as
well. Yeah, he knows everything, so it's like, why is this happening?
They're like, you ever hear the theory of blah, blah, blah? He's like, yeah, when two objects, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, what? You shouldn't know that. Like, you're a fucking CIA guy. Why are you, why do you know physics?
And naming him protagonist, you're just so up your own butt. Stop. It's not RT.
So Chris Nolan, he had said that this was his, like, he never got to make a James Bond movie he wanted to make.
I totally felt like he was wanting to be a James Bond movie. That I wrote it. That's funny you say that.
So okay. This is his James Bond movie, which is so far it's up its own ass. But we were talking about Bond the other day. Bond is cool, yet we don't know anything about him. We know nothing about protagonists, and I hate him.
Yeah. He's so one-dimensional. And like
Bond still feels like there's a layer of darkness under there, and you're like, you know what? What makes this guy tick and stuff? Like, when played right, like Daniel Craig, Timothy Dalton, there's an air of mystery about him, right? This guy is all air of mystery, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I want to know nothing about this guy.
Yeah.
I want to know less about him than I already know.
Well, to go on the Bond thing, there's moments of levity, too, that kind of add to Bond's character where he makes a quip or a joke or something.
When they would tell jokes in this movie, it pulled me out of it.
Did
you feel that, too?
I think I'll tell that joke.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. And like, it was always like a, kind of a British witty joke, but it didn't. Everything is so far up its own ass. Everything's so like screwed in so tightly that when they try to loosen up, you're like, "What are you doing?
Yeah,
this,
it's this, like that
was you."
That's
well, Denzel's son. What's his name?
Washington.
Denzel's son. He has a few jokes. I mean, like the hot sauce one landed where they pull him into the kitchen and he's like, "I ordered my hot sauce an hour ago," and they start beating him up. Like, yeah,
I didn't
know.
Land for me. It just felt so out of left field. Everything is so tight and everything is so a mile a minute when they try to lighten up. You're like, what are you doing?
But you never get the sense that he just went through some horrific, like he just had his teeth pulled out and he committed suicide. And you never really feel that. It's like he snaps right back into.
Yeah, because they're one dimensional.
Yeah.
It's quite jarring. Everything is just, why?
I didn't like feel any thing for these characters, like when they're going through stuff. The most I really felt, I'd say, was when, yeah, like super spoiler, I guess, at the end when Kat jumps off the boat and it's like she, you know, she's seeing herself in the future to like make herself really inspired to do that. Like,
well, and I think that's supposed to be the heart of the story, but I didn't give a shit about that either.
I was like, oh, cool, but what the fuck was this other like 2.5 hours? Like,
no, I feel like Robert Pattinson is the character I like the most in the whole movie.
And no, I read, like,
because he's James Bond.
Yeah, he's more James Bond than our protagonist James Bond guy. Because Robert Patton's suave, and I don't know. The Denzel's kid, I was just like, this, you ain't Denzel.
Yeah.
It ain't.
He sure reminds me of him, though.
Well, like his speech patterns and stuff, but he's just, I think it's the script. I don't think it's him, because you can tell.
No, he's got charisma.
You can tell he's charismatic.
Because he was awesome in Black Klansman.
The script is just, oh, yeah. So, yeah, you can, Kerry Washington, maybe? Or something. I don't know.
We should look up his goddamn name.
You can tell that he has charisma, but you can tell that the story doesn't. The script is just so fucking...
It doesn't have time for human elements.
No.
Yeah. And I felt like there was a lot of opportunity for it. Like, we were talking about that windmill scene. He, right after this horrific event, he has to spend time in this windmill waiting to get picked up by this boat, whatever, because he's undercover, acting like he's a ship crewman or whatever. While he's hanging out in that windmill, yeah, you see him working out and stuff. But it's all you get is the score the whole time. And you don't get any dialogue, or you don't know how he feels about where he's at and what he's doing. And that's kind of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Is he's kind of just going along, and there's no time for him to express.
I keep making the comparison, but I think it's Six Underground. Like, everything and every sort of human moment that's supposed to be there just feels so, like just pandery and, like, fake.
Yeah.
Everything's so phony because everything is so fast. You'd never slow down.
It's like they're trying to be witty with how fast they're being, but it's not witty and it's not clever and it's not, like, intriguing. If you really listen to what they're saying, it is also one-dimensional, I feel like the characters. It's like, why are you saying this?
You can't even listen to what they're saying quarter of the time because the sound design's so bad.
So what's his reasoning behind the sound design?
I don't know. I think he explained it because he started it in Dark Knight Returns.
What, this?
Dark Knight Rises.
Sound design thing?
Yeah, where he puts the dialogue at the bottom of the mix.
Okay. Weird choice. Okay.
And maybe it's for realism. All right, so I think maybe it's what David Fincher does. So, like, you watch Social Network, and Timberlake and Jesse Eisenberg have a conversation in a nightclub.
In a nightclub, and they're screaming.
They're screaming, and you really have to listen to what they're saying, but it works.
Okay.
This, it feels like he's trying to do a similar thing. No, you really need to key in what I'm saying here, so I'm going to make it so you really have to listen. Yeah, but it's just not done correctly.
Well, I did like a little research about just the production of the movie, and apparently this took Christopher Nolan 5 years to write. So he really thought he was doing something with that.
Well,
and then
Interstellar and stuff took like equally as
worth
long.
It.
Yeah, good
one
movie.
Would argue. This dude, 5 years.
Well, his brother wrote most of that. So his brother's the more talented Nolan.
Oh my god! And then Robert Pattinson, like we talked about, took the role without really understanding the plot, which I think is so funny. Like, and honestly, yeah, okay. Like, I could see also not understanding.
I watched some interview and the actors, like Kenneth Branagh, who's the villain in the movie, at the end he was like, "So am I dead?" Or like, I don't know how this. What am I, the guy in the future? Like, nobody knows. Like, am I the real bad guy who's sending everything back? Like, no.
That's but so funny. Yeah, so everyone's just lost.
So speaking of him, the villain.
He is so playing a Bond villain, but...
But not a good Bond villain. A good Bond villain has some redeemable factors, you know, or characteristics. This guy is just a dick the whole way through. And, you know, the kind of the cool thing about, you know, we're fans of the Bond or the, you know, spy thriller movies. Usually it encompasses some sort of, you know, the beginning is him trying to infiltrate some organization, elicit information from them, build rapport, like a spy, which you'd think a spy would do. But from the moment they meet, it's like he knows he's a spy and this guy's just a dick. And he doesn't kill him at any point, you know, leading up to the climax. His plan is really weird and just involves him sitting on a boat all day. And he's not very effective.
Even
in his backstory, how he comes upon his fortune, like they find those bricks, he like kills the guy that was with him. And it's like, dude, he's just an asshole. Like, there's what's your motive?
Yeah, well, I mean, why even give us that backstory? Because at the end, when they're lowering the shit in the ground, it was like, oh, is he gonna give that to himself in the past? Like, it was still on.
Hold on, he's about to have like some dog outburst.
I was running off on some tangent that didn't make any sense, but he fucking. Yeah, he's not a good Bond. Like, we were talking about Casino Royale and how the Bond villain in that technically should be kind of a bad Bond villain, because at the end of the day, he's not even, like, the bad guy. And I was like, oh, that's why I like him, because you could feel he was human. And, like,
Bond kind of just gets in his way.
Yeah, the worst thing he does in the whole movie is when he's beating James Bond's balls with that rope. but, like, other than that, like, yeah, that was it. And so I was like, I shouldn't be threatened by that guy, but that guy works better than Kenneth Branagh in here, who shows he's a bad guy because he shoots people and he does things. And he
puts his cufflinks in a belt.
And he's playing it up to 10, but at the end of the day, it's like Christopher Walken in, like, you know, in A View to a Kill or something. Like, or a lot of the older Bond villains where it's just like, I don't care.
Yeah, you're just an asshole.
A Living Daylights. Like, he feels like a bad Bond villain. I don't know. Where the good Bond villains, you know, I'm intrigued a little more. I didn't give a shit about this guy.
Yeah. And his motives are not relatable and mostly unclear the first time I watched
totally
it. I was
unclear.
Like, wait, he just wants to destroy the world?
Yeah, just for shits and
like
giggles?
That simple? Because he's dying?
Well, if I can't have it, you can.
Right, yeah. It's like, that's kind of...
It's poor coping skills and like access to heavy weaponry.
If this movie didn't take itself so utterly seriously, everything would work, I feel like. But it is trying so hard to be like this next level, you know, like smart thing. But then whenever somebody says a line that sounds at all movie-ish, which was throughout the movie, somebody's like, he's like, if I can't have her, nobody can. And then they talk about the Earth, and he's like, if I can't have her, nobody can. It's like, okay, like, that movie line works in a Bond movie. That doesn't work in this movie that's so far up its own ass that, like, now that you say a movie line, there's a few other lines in the movie where I just cringed. I was like, oh, that's such bad, like,
definitely
cheesy
crazy
action movie dialogue that... This hasn't been a cheesy action movie because you're trying to make me think on this level. It just, it didn't know which way it wanted to go, I feel like. Where, like, his other movies, his brothers helped write them and shit. There's, like, there's some divide there where, like, Inception is so twisty and turny. And it's more complicated than this movie. But I get it. And not only I get it, I feel it, and I care about the characters, and it works as a movie. Interstellar is so emotional. Like, most of his movies thoroughly have emotion in them. This one was just not, I don't know.
Yeah, and there's a lot of technical, at least for me, confusing aspects to the reverse telepathy, or what would you call it?
The inverted.
Yeah, inverting thing. Your
time. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so you have to be on a oxygen source when you're going backwards. Like, they're wearing gas masks, which that's not an oxygen source, but like, whatever. We'll imagine that they are or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you lose track of who's who in all the scenes in which someone's going backwards.
Well, I think that's another reason they're like, okay, if we're going backwards, we need to show you the air on. Okay.
They do, but then they take them off and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, like at the end.
Know what it wants to
right?
be.
Well, the end, they're not going backwards anymore.
But well, I know he's going forward, so...
Robert Pattinson's going backwards.
But he reversed himself?
Half the way through, yes.
Somehow? Okay. All right. That's... Okay.
You know, remember him running in, and he sees himself running out, and then he's the one who, at the beginning of the battle, drove up and was honking at them. So
I remember that, yeah, but John... His name's John David, isn't it? John David Washington? Anyway.
Yeah, it is. I looked it up.
I think that is.
Yeah. Wait, let me double check before I just said, yeah.
It is. When the red team, which he's on, they go in, they're going forward.
Yes.
So why are they all wearing gas masks? Right?
Yeah.
Blue team was going
because
backwards.
That's what makes the whole ending confusing is because we keep cutting to people in gas masks.
And you can't tell who the fuck is who.
Yeah. So.
It wanted to be so much deeper than it was.
And there's really cool, on the technical end. I have to appreciate this movie on a technical level.
Yeah, because, it's so cinematic.
You can tell that stuff is shot actually backwards, where people are running backwards and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, or running, or they do a plate where somebody's running forward, then they clear them out of there, and then they blow something up, but the explosion's in reverse as they're running forward. And, so they did a lot of work. And then, so technically, the fight scene where they're going backwards.
The hallway fight is awesome. Yeah.
Not for me. It just felt so – it doesn't look right, and it doesn't look natural, so it doesn't feel relatable.
You mean the first one with, the bullets in the glass, right?
Yeah, when he fights himself.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
I think it goes on for a bit long, and it – that's – at the end of the day, I know what reverse photography looks like. When you're a budding filmmaker, that's the first thing you do is I can make somebody look like they jump if they jump off something high and come down to here. We can do that. Or there's so many film tricks where I'm like, okay, I don't want to whip the camera over to you because I'll miss. So we'll have you be there and I'll whip the camera off you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we'll put it in
reverse. All right, you don't appreciate it, whatever.
So
I like
seeing stuff in reverse just looks like stuff in reverse.
That's because you know it, though, because you're in the craft and the detail work.
So being a more...
It looks like an editing... you see stupid fucking music video stuff and it goes...
But it does look... But it is cool because how they're making contact, fighting choreography. One guy is moving backwards while one's moving forward and how that works. I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought it looked
good, too. And if you watch... They have YouTube videos where they go back and forth and stuff. And it's actually pretty interesting watching the different reverse perspectives. And it's it's actually pretty interesting how they make that work.
No, so
some of it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
why does he shoot at himself?
he knows he's coming through there.
Yeah.
He's
the one with the gun.
Literally.
What the fuck? Yeah, and also there's this world thing is when the plane blows up and we see them with the stretcher and they're running.
Nobody cares.
They're running backwards through there.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, they were running forward with it. So it would look like they were wheeling out backwards, running backwards with the stretchers. I think
those guys are coming out backwards as they're going in. So they would have looked like dudes running out backwards with a.
I guess that one could be explained away. But
I don't know.
I feel like that
half the time we see this time travel shit in the normal world, and it's that doesn't matter. I don't know. We see the people going reverse and stuff.
I feel like that's sort of the problem is that it can't be explained away, and they try to explain it. In the beginning of the movie, when we see that woman who has all the inverted bullets explaining to the protagonist, hey, this is how inversion works, and giving an exposition dump that I feel like was kind of okay. It wasn't too much because he did.
Well, she's actually a scientist and he didn't know.
Yeah, so it was fine. It was fine for her to do, I felt like. But then...
His infatuation with it or his amazement of it is quickly all right, I got it now.
It's not that crazy. Yeah, immediately. He's like, oh.
he does the one whoa. He caught the bullet. But after that, he's like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, he's like, sweet, inverted. But so she says you don't need to... You can't see it or understand it. You have to feel it. So automatically, they could have rode that, I feel like, through the rest of the movie. Don't keep trying to explain it because it doesn't even seem like they understand.
They don't always say that one time. They say that throughout the movie.
Right. So
you need
stop.
To feel it. And so I was like, all right, I think they're talking to the audience here, and I'm supposed to just feel the emotions and feel the ride of the movie because trying to think about it too much is just gonna confuse me, right? You can't feel anything because the characters all suck.
And the characters are so busy dumping the exposition at you. What am I supposed to feel?
At 100 miles an hour, and you can't possibly pick it all up. Because by the time you think what that last thing meant, they're four down the line.
Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty poorly put together, I think.
Yeah. It's not.
5 years on this. Sorry, but no.
What about the... So, obviously, we're tearing it apart. What did you like about it?
I said that it's a technical marvel at points, and that's about it.
The soundtrack, the score was awesome. I liked it. I liked score a lot.
For being his first non-Hans Zimmer score, I don't know who did it, but...
I can't remember. It was that Johannes.
I wasn't that impressed with the score, honestly. Having heard the Hans Zimmer score in all of his other movies...
I liked it because it was unique, it kind of sounds like something going backwards.
It was, like, cool and eerie and, like, techno-ish, but not, like, annoying. I thought it was dope.
Yeah. And I liked the... I liked some of the stunts, like when actually the best dialogue is when he first meets Neil and they're talking about how they're going to get up into that building.
Yeah.
And he's like, parachute? I'm like, it's not high enough. He's like, bungee jumpable? He's like, I don't think that's a word, bungee jumpable.
That was one of the only jokes that I chuckled at.
Yeah. And
that felt like British humor, which I love, but like.
Yeah. And you kind of start seeing that relationship, that dynamic build.
That was the only thing I
They could have ran with that. It could have been like
friendship. They should have been real bros because at the end he's like, the big twist, he's like, oh.
I knew you the whole time.
We've been best friends.
Yeah.
We have some fun together, you and I. And it's like, well, show me that.
Yeah. Where's the fun? Show me one bit of fun.
Yeah, there's not a lot of buddy moments between them. They're so busy.
There's not any emotional anything between anybody.
Yeah.
They just talk about there being emotions. They talk about their memories. They talk about how they feel, but we don't see it.
Even what's-her-face to Kenneth Branagh, the bad guy's character at the end. She's like, for years you've done this to me. Well, show me that.
Yeah, where? Why are you fed up? Let me feel something. Like, stop just
show him being an asshole, because all I see is him be a Bond villain asshole. And then when you two are together, like on the cruise ship, he's never like...
Yeah, he's just chilling. He's just like taking business calls.
Yeah, he's always hanging out.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
He's like having dinner or hanging out on a boat.
Yeah.
It's all pretty badly written, I think.
It had a $205 million budget, and as of today, grossed $362.6 million between the UK and.
Now, what's 20% of $362 million? Because that's how much Chris Nolan got paid on this. That was why it was put out during COVID. He got 20%.
He said, "Just give me the fucking check."
He got 20% of the box office. So
give me the check. Just
put it out. God damn it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, damn. I mean.
I think as an idea, it's cool.
Yeah, I really like
entropy idea, the reverse time. Like,
I feel like you and I could write this movie, and it would be fucking supreme with all the science shit.
Well, that's the thing.
Over.
Like, and I've said it to you multiple times. Like, I wish Inception was my idea because that's such an awesome idea of going into dreams. And then again, the main device of the movie within this movie is an awesome idea. It's just not a great story surrounding it.
No, it's so
it's kind of waste of potential, really.
Yes. It's because the time travel elements, I like the idea of how the time travel even works in this universe. Like, you see him on the boat that's going backwards, and he's, like, lifting and stuff, and you're like, okay, so that's how they have to go back in time. He just took a six-month trip around the world to go back in time 6 months, or it was 2 months, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Show me that journey.
Literally.
Not two shots of it and go, yeah, that was some time.
And the whole time they're hanging out in a vacuum sealed room or whatever, right? Like, they're supposed to be in that container for a long time.
Yeah. Like, show me that time they spent together.
They could be having flashbacks while they're in that stupid container.
So explain to me.
You could use that as the framing device.
Literally. Like.
So to clear some things up for me, explain to me if you understand why. What's Kick-Ass's name?
Aaron Taylor Paul or whatever.
Aaron
Johnson. Taylor Johnson. Yeah.
Johnson. Why does he point a gun at him at the end?
He had to kill them. Oh my God. He straight up says it, but I'm trying to like quote him exactly. He kind of just says like, he's paid by the other guy to kill him no matter what, because like nobody can know about this technology and he has to keep it. It's something bullshit.
The sensitive nature of.
I think it was just that shit.
Okay.
It's
like, then why am I, they're just using each other to get that. The device at the end. Okay. Because he comes in out of nowhere and he's like a dick, but he's good. And then he's like pointing a gun at him at the end. And
I like him as an actor. So
no, yeah,
I was happy to see him.
He's
but,
cool, yeah.
Is
he British?
Yeah.
Okay. caught me off guard when he started talking. Like, wait a minute, what? Yeah.
Okay, the other concern, the format changes. Please, like...
The aspect ratio changes. Okay.
Yeah, it was, like, tripping me
Portuguese
up.
Speaking Portuguese at this point.
All right, so the movie's in 2:35:1 at aspect ratio widescreen. I think it is, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Or off memory.
Sure.
Like, movies that are wide, okay?
Like, yeah.
It looks like a movie. But then, whenever we get into a big action sequence, this happens in The Dark Knight.
Goes to IMAX.
It goes to IMAX. It's just full screen or 4:3. Which is like the VHS.
That's jarring.
Like what Justice League is going to come out in is like 4:3. You can watch it in widescreen, but you can watch it in the 4:3 as well if you want to see more of the frame.
Okay.
IMAX makes sense. The issue is, like, it pulls a lot of people out of it when your screen goes pop and
literally
just breaks. And then we go back into the lines. We're like, oh, yeah, this is a movie.
People talk about this, but I never notice it. Maybe because I'm just a moron.
So in The Dark Knight Rises, I don't notice it. Like, for instance, when him and Catwoman are walking up to the sewer thing before the Bane thing happens, right? And that gate comes down. On that gate hitting is when it cuts to IMAX.
So there's effective ways to cut between the two?
Yeah, or like Guardians of the Galaxy does it, but you would never notice because the camera is craning up as they go up and it goes to the floor, and as it comes up on the other side,
so it's like dynamic.
We see this bridge and it's all spacey.
Okay.
So they use a hidden cut to do it most of the time.
So they do this all the time.
Chris Nolan and Michael Bay, which
they just use it
on that Transformers movie, that last one he made, that The Last Knight or The Last Jedi or whatever piece of shit. That one, literally, like every two shots, it's like IMAX, no, back in. Oh, IMAX, 2:35:1. Which I'm glad Six Underground was all just in 2:35:1. But this movie jumps in between aspect ratios and it pulls a lot of people out. I didn't actually notice it that much in this. I feel like he does it really well with cuts.
I noticed it a lot. And I don't know why, because that's not like my thing to notice ever.
Yeah.
But you talk about it all the time. You talk about it with like...
Aspect ratios,
yeah. And I was like, dude, shut up. But then I was watching it. I was like, oh my God.
Like I refuse to watch VHS tapes or like movies. Like Amazon Prime will have movies, but they're only in 4:3 because there's DVDs you can buy that's still in 4:3.
Mm.
Remember as kids, you'd have to flip the disc over to full screen or widescreen?
Yeah.
Because when you had a box TV, you had to watch a movie on the box and you didn't want to look at the screen that small.
Yeah.
But what you're doing is you're ruining the director's image because you're zooming into a quarter of it. They have to literally do a pan and scan where it's like whatever image is on the screen, they have to pan around it or they have to just squish it in there.
Yeah.
So like if you watch the Ghostbusters VHS, that shot where all the Ghostbusters in the elevator together waiting.
Someone's going to be cut out.
They're all just squished. They just squished the frames. They all look tall.
Okay.
So they did shit like that all the time. Aspect ratios, yeah, they're a big deal, but it didn't pull me out. I think he does it decently well in editing, but I'm glad you noticed
it. I was hardly in it, so it did pull me out because I was really not.
Yeah, you were already skeptical of it at this point.
I loved how it looked. It was cinematically like beautiful. I really liked the score, but the characters were just not relatable. They weren't people. And so that pulled me out even more than I was already not in it.
Beer here.
I thought the woman was a human.
Cat?
Character.
The blonde girl? Yeah, I liked her.
Except for the fact that she's like 6'3", and David Washington's like 5'9".
Why does he care about her?
Well, I think he's just sympathetic.
Never explain why
so
he's risking everything.
My understanding was that he was using her to gain access to him using the forged painting, the Goya, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then through that, learning about her life story, he kind of became empathetic or
Black Panther is a better Bond movie than Tenet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That feels more like a Bond movie than Tenet does.
Black Panther?
Mm-hmm.
Because the director of that also said, like, yeah, this is my homage to a Bond movie, which I like that director a lot, too.
Mm.
He did Creed and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So, like, that movie, like, when they go into the casino, even though I don't like Black Panther, I think it's a really flawed movie. When they go into the casino, it feels like a Bond thing. His character, he's charismatic, and he feels like a Bond kind of guy.
The main character?
Yeah. In those scenes. No, Wiley in that movie, he's just kind of a Mary Sue or whatever. Like, you know, he's got nothing. He's got a lot of the same problems, except for at the
That's
end of the day, Black Panther is a little more jokey and relatable. Somehow, a superhuman man who can take no damage and is so overpowered is more relatable to me than... than protagonist.
Yeah, protagonist, your everyday guy. Your everyday CIA guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the beginning he's kind of broken, but yeah, they kind of brush right over that and he's good again.
Yeah, they had so many opportunities to dive into his story, the friendship he had with Robert Pattinson's character, him and Kat's bond that they never really get into. Because in the beginning, he tells Robert Pattinson's character, like, oh, I'm willing to take, like, a child or woman hostage if that's what it takes. So he makes it clear, like, he'll do what he has to do. But now he's just going to risk this mission for this lady, for Kat.
Maybe that's supposed to be his arc, but it didn't pay off.
No, it did not pay off because they didn't feed into it. Like,
yeah, you don't really get the sense that he's cold-blooded.
I don't get a sense of anything.
I just feel like he's some bland guy.
I feel like
he's
just a horribly written character.
Yeah.
Ray is a more engaging character to me than fucking him.
Yes.
Yeah. Ray's got a bigger arc.
I can't stand Ray.
Yeah, I can't stand this guy.
Yeah, he's not. There's not much to him. And Pattinson's definitely the more...
Yeah, I was like, oh, show me the movie about Pattinson. Cool.
Yeah, he has more of a presence.
He carries this on his back.
He's charming and he's got some wit.
Looper is just a better version of this in a weird way. Like, it's not, the plots aren't similar, but like the...
That's a Mark Wahlberg movie, right?
No, Bruce Willis.
What am I thinking of? Shooter.
But like Rian Johnson, who did that shitty Star Wars movie, made a bunch of good movies like Looper and Knives Out.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just not the right pick for a Star Wars movie. But that guy, yeah, like, Looper's understandable, relatable. I care about, you know, I'm watching the characters, and by the end, I'm like, all right, that was a cool movie. Looper's not breaking any ground. It's not great, but at the end of the day, like, it's better than this. Because what defines... This is cooler, but at the end of the day, it's not an effective story.
No, I'd rather
it failed on the base level of being, a base level of entertaining. For most audience, this is not the right. I'm not entertained when it's just constant nonsense that I don't get. It gets frustrating.
I'm not intrigued. It's annoying.
So I think if this would have came out not even in COVID, I think it would have flopped.
Hmm.
I think after the first two weekends, people would have been like, yeah, that movie's just incoherent and really bad. This would have flopped no matter what, and I think Warner Brothers might have known that. It's just like Wonder Woman 84, which they put out. I was like thinking about it. Like, everybody's like, well, the first Wonder Woman made $800 million, right? So this one's gonna, by definition, should make a million. I think they put it out on HBO Max partly because, like, people aren't gonna like this.
Hmm. Okay.
It'll be seen by more people this way than it would have. Where Tenet, I think, was mostly a Chris Nolan because he had final say on distribution. So he wanted his 20% of $362 million.
Dude, I'd release that. I'd release pretty much my worst piece of work if I got 20% of $362 million. I'd be like, say what you want. I just got 20% of $362 million, and I'm still going to keep making movies.
And then he has balls to yell at Warner Brothers for making this HBO Max decision for a bunch of movies. I mean, they did do it in a fucked up way. They decided,
what happened?
They announced that they're putting a bunch of, like, King Kong versus Godzilla, Dune, like a bunch of huge movies. They're like, we're just going straight to HBO Max, and if theaters are open, you can see them there too. These are coming out next, like, summer, though.
That's a big jump.
So theaters should be open by this point. Yeah. But they were like, we can do it on HBO Max too. They didn't let the directors know of the films. They didn't let the financiers. At the end of the day, they're Warner Brothers, so they have final say in distribution.
Yeah, but still, come on.
Yeah, so it was fucked up. But then he goes out in this whole limb, like, people went to bed, all these directors went to bed last night thinking they worked for the best film studio of all time. And this morning they woke up knowing that they worked for the worst streaming service.
Dude, what?
So he says that, but it's like, oh. Blasting them. Oh, yeah, because Tenet worked so fucking well, Chris Nolan.
Yeah.
You fucking released that and...
Yeah, to come speak on how they're going to do stuff. Like, sir, you just cost them some money. Like,
you just lost so much money for that studio.
Maybe somebody else speak up for them. Damn.
Well, to give him some, I don't know, to give him the light of day, I guess.
He's a good filmmaker.
Maybe he thought...
That's why this is upsetting.
Yeah, like...
You're a good filmmaker. Why are you sucking? Why would you, like, do this maybe shit?
Nobody's going to make a hit every single time. Yeah. Maybe he just, it wasn't...
Which, up to this point, he has.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
he was bound to make one.
It's like him and Tarantino. They have not had a single misstep unless people... I guess this is his death proof, which I like death proof. But this is his death proof. But I don't know. This sure is pretty is. Horrible.
Yeah, I'm not into
it. The more I think about this movie, the angrier I get.
Rage.
Because every time I talk to you about it, you're like, yeah, it's entertaining. And I'm like, all right, fucking... Transformers is entertaining.
Yeah.
Black Panther was entertaining.
Kind of.
When
it's
you
a,
say
it's a fucked up, flawed story with bad storytelling. This is Six Underground. Like,
when you say the movie's entertaining,
cool
what are
action
you...
sequences in Six Underground. But at the end of the day, the editing, pacing, writing is shit.
Any entertaining in that it has, there's action, there's dudes with suits being acting cool.
Like action movie entertainment,
you know,
is
like
what
some
you're
sort
in.
Of espionage element. You know,
oh, yeah, this has all the elements of a movie he would love. Because you love spy shit, and you love the military stuff.
I like slick stuff.
Do you think that it was executed in a. Like, on par with those other things that you like? Because that's not really my genre.
When I think about it, I think about, like, just the coolest memorable bits. That's all I'm thinking about.
Like highlight reel
the
action.
The action sequence with that building.
I'm not even big on the action sequence, just because it's a lot of sprinting at full speed and shooting at full auto, and it just, like, looks, like, hokey, you know?
Yeah, no.
You don't get any sense.
I didn't feel it either.
He's never tired. Apparently, he's got the greatest cardio in the world.
That windmill
did
wonders
mask.
For that workout.
In full kit, just...
I don't know if you've had to wear a gas mask and run around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I had to do that chemical weapons thing, too, like a full mop suit and shit.
Well, we would wear them a lot for, like, VBSS and stuff.
Okay.
So I'm pretty familiar with
gas masks. Yeah, running around in a gas mask is fucking horrible. Yeah. Running around in a COVID mask is horrible, let alone that.
Yeah.
And this guy has never winded. Not once, ever. All from his windmill pull-up.
Which is probably
his boat pull-ups.
Oh, yeah, boat pull-ups. Can't leave those out. That's the regiment.
So, and
his P90X.
The thing with I thought that was cool initially, and then I watched it again. I was like, yeah, but, like, of course pull-ups you can get away with looking, because... No matter forward or backward, it looks like you're doing pull-ups, and then you watch him, you can totally tell he backwards his way up up the staircase. It's like, it kind of took me out of it. But, the more you watch it, the less it agrees with you, for sure. Yeah. I've only watched it twice, and the second time was really revealing, I guess, of all its flaws.
Yeah,
but the first time, it was like information overload. I didn't have subtitles. So I was like, I don't really know what's going on. I didn't understand the whole thing with the plutonium. I didn't understand the thing with Priya's husband. I didn't understand the shit with the painting. I was like, what the fuck is with this painting? It makes a lot more sense now, but it still
went nowhere.
It's a lot of meaningless information.
So much potential. Yeah. So many things. It could have been our whole story, and none of it was a story.
Well, the biggest flaw is, the main character and then the villain, for sure. I think
all of it's pretty badly written.
Yeah, but if you had an interesting main character and a villain, it would have made it quite a bit better.
Yeah,
I'd at least want to know what they were doing.
The characters are just so not. It's at the end of the day, if the characters worked, but then again, it's not just the writing, because I would say it's just the writing of characters, right? I was like, if the characters work, then the story will work. No, it's also your editing. That movie is so fucking dialed in. It's everything is so quick. That's the reason I keep comparing it to Six Underground. Is because both of those movies are almost incoherently fast edited through dialogue, through everything. And both technical marvels, like the action sequences in Six Underground are cooler to me than this. Even though those are super Michael Bay cut.
They are pretty elaborate.
But like at the end of the day, like I was more like, wow, at Six Underground than this, because I was just so bored with this. I don't know. This was such a more of a slog to get through. And
Six Underground is easier to like.
Neither one of these movies are movies I would ever watch in one sitting ever again. I watch Six Underground probably every 4 months or something, and I watch 20 minutes, pause it, go out, do something, come back, watch 20 minutes, go to bed, wake up the next morning, watch an hour.
You have
like,
to take it piecemeal.
Because it's just they're so quickly edited. That you just can't fucking you can't feel the story. You can't sit down with it. The movie's never slowed down. You can't digest
any of it. It's like, what the fuck? You're being waterboarded with information. Like, it's too much.
That's quite literally it. So both these movies are pretty horribly edited. Shit, we were... And at least Michael Bay has the excuse of, I have 24 cameras for this one scene. And by God, all these shots look amazing. So I'm going to show you a little piece of every one of them. There's a dialogue scene in Tenet where he's on a balcony with a chick. It's two shots. It's an over-the-shoulder, and it goes cut, 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 cut. And it's just like, it's two shots.
Yeah, stop.
I didn't, maybe because there's just so much shit going on, I didn't catch that the first time. But when I watched it with you the second time, it was like, Jesus Christ, like, just for to say and or something, it cut back to her, and then it go back to him.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, you don't have to do that for each piece of dialogue.
It's actually I'm not cooler. A director. It's cooler if you don't at all.
Yeah.
But I feel like his direction was off because the script is so fucking jam packed. Because that's another thing: the actors aren't giving a ton either. Everybody feels that it's a safe level of I'm cool and confident right now.
Yeah.
Nobody loses their shit, not a single time in the movie. Nobody fucking has like a real moment of breakdown, like questioning what was going on, or like, whoa, I almost just got shot with a reverse bullet and I'm really looking at this guy who saved me and I don't know why. Yeah. And then at the end, even when he sees the little thing, he's like, wow, cool. Like, the direction was so, keep it fast, keep it quick. Yeah, like,
they're all just too cool and too trained and too advanced to even really be phased, but it comes off as impersonal.
Everything about the movie's impersonal.
Yeah.
This movie's almost made to make you not feel aside with it or feel for it.
Mm.
Congrats to the movie then, because they sure did that.
Yeah, it's the first movie made so you don't attach to anything.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I had higher hopes for it because I like Robert too. Pattinson. Like,
Interstellar is like in my. I don't. Did I put that in my top 10?
I think you mentioned it as maybe like an honorable or something. Yeah, but like that movie is. We talked about it for sure.
That movie is. I saw it in theaters and I remember I like put a dip in and I forgot I had it because my mouth was just like the whole fucking movie, and like the docking sequence where they have to match the speed and everything and the score like that. That made me remember why I love movies. Like, it was just like, this is cinema. This movie gave me fucking none of that. Yeah. And not only that, I didn't give a shit about anything.
I watched two bad movies back to back this week. That Pete Davidson one, the Judd Apatow. Didn't like that. And then this one. And I need a palate cleanse. Because this was not it. I was excited.
I like that Pete Davidson movie more than Tenet.
I honestly would say I do too. It has more elements.
I liked Bill Burr in that Pete Davidson movie.
I felt things in that movie. I felt nothing except for irritation in this movie.
Yeah, it was just so... It's a slog.
Well, hopefully this is like his only like miss. And the next one is like another grand slam.
He needs to get his brother back in there to write it. The guy who seems to get characters and things.
Yeah, everybody makes mistakes, right?
Yeah.
Not a $200 million
mistake, yeah. I don't know how you get past this many. I mean, you're Christopher Nolan. It'd be like David Fincher.
Yeah, he's like, no, you'll see. Like, you'll see.
Trust me, I'm Chris Nolan. And then, the fuck is that? Which, I guess, maybe you should watch it and we can talk about that.
What?
Mank, the latest David Fincher movie. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's in black and white, and it's about the writing of Citizen Kane.
Okay.
I'm a huge Citizen Kane fan, so like the movie was automatically interesting to me. David Fincher was interesting to me, and then Gary Oldman stars. So like super into it. That movie also, I think you'll like it a lot more than this. But like for a Fincher movie, you know, I was expecting a little bit more, and I think at a point it becomes reputation. Becomes a whole thing.
Yeah, they're on a pedestal. You want to see
Mank is a cool movie.
But it wasn't what you thought you'd see from Fincher.
Yeah.
So.
And like we were talking about, we didn't do a top 20 or top movies of 2020.
No, that was what this podcast was going to be.
We couldn't come up with good movies that came out this year. And I was like, you know, I really like I watched Mank No, I'm more intrigued with Mank than I like it.
Dude, we were going to have several Hulu originals on the 2020 movies, and that was just not going to fly.
Yeah, like this, because that's like the dumbest bar of entertaining.
Yeah, this year was not it. I want to say it's because of COVID. I hope it's because of COVID. It's got to be.
It's got, no, 100%. Right? Nobody released anything.
Yeah, everyone's just waiting.
We got Trolls World Tour, fucking whatever this movie's called, Tenet, and we got Mank and a few other things. And
Palm Springs on Hulu.
Palm Springs?
That is a good one.
It's a good movie. It's just Groundhog Day. Mm. But you know what? By God, it works, and I felt it, and I loved it, and it was entertaining, and it wasn't trying to be anything it wasn't.
Yeah.
This movie couldn't decide whether it was Bond or fucking science.
Yeah, it wanted to be artsy, and it wanted to be like a cosmic scientific wonder, and it was neither.
You know what is artsy and a scientific cosmic wonder? Mm. Fucking Interstellar.
Yeah, that's my sister's favorite movie.
And extremely emotional. Like, if you watch Interstellar and don't tear up or, like, you know, feel something, like, all right, you're just a piece of shit.
Noted.
I'm not pointing that at you, obviously. I'm just,
no, it got me.
You don't tear up in Interstellar?
No, you said it's like the ending, like that bookshelf.
I haven't seen it, actually, so pipe down on that. Yeah. I haven't seen it. I know, I'm like 7 years late.
That's something we have to do immediately.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it?
No, we were going to watch it, and then all the holidays kind of came, remember, and we were like, we need to sit down and watch it. And I haven't
Oh,
seen
yeah,
it.
We were going to watch it leading up to Tenet.
Yeah. No,
we were going to see Tenet in Portland. So glad we didn't.
Yeah, could you? Oh my god.
I can only imagine sitting in a theater with me, you, and like everybody else, and just like, what the fuck? What? This is horrible. You're crazy. This is really badly put together.
I got COVID for this.
I killed grandma for this piece of shit.
That's funny.
I'm not as upset as you are, apparently. Whatever. Seems like a misstep in his pretty impressive repertoire.
Yeah, of course he's impressive. He's Christopher Nolan. But like,
at the end of the day, I think we like take the filmmaking aspects of it. And it's just $200 million.
What you could do with that?
I mean, there's a lot of movie makers with those kinds of budgets who make shit movies, right?
It just hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. And those movies don't get any sympathy. I feel like this movie's getting... People aren't tearing this movie nearly as much of an asshole as they
I
should
want people
be.
To rage with us.
Yeah. People are not that... People are like, oh, I'm dumb. I think it's... Yeah, people walk away
they're
going...
They're questioning themselves.
Am I stupid? Like, no. This is just incoherent.
Yeah.
You're not stupid. If you got Inception, you have no... Yeah. There's no reason not to get this.
All of this berating of Tenet being said, though... I still think it was so visually, like, pleasing. Not enough to carry it, but it was beautiful.
Yeah, he's got a good cinematographer. Yay. And you hired a guy to do a job, and he did his job.
All right, I was trying to defend it.
It's a good-looking movie.
I mean, it's aesthetic. And the score is cool.
For $200 goddamn million dollars, it better be.
Yeah.
Everybody fucking... just fucking brutally beat the shit out of Justice League because it costed $300 million after its reshooting of the whole goddamn movie, and it looks like shit. It looks like a cheap fucking Supergirl TV show.
That's what you're waiting for, the re-release of that you were talking about?
Yeah, the original version, what was supposed to come out. And so, like, everybody just beats the shit out of the movie because, it costs so much, and look what we got! This costs fucking a little bit less than that, and look what we got.
Here's what you got. You got the guy from Twilight. You got inverted bullets.
Well, all right.
What more do you want?
We're not gonna talk shit about Robert Pattinson.
I love Robert Pattinson, dude, but his roots are his roots. So
you like Good Time? Yeah.
I love him. I like him. I think he's awesome. Like,
I can't wait to see him.
Like, no kidding. And I think he's
honestly,
like a great actor.
This made me so hyped because I was like, he's literally the only part of the movie I was interested in.
Yeah.
And he didn't even get it. Yeah. That's the funniest part.
He didn't know what the fuck was going on. He just knew the kind of guy he was supposed to play. Yeah, I'm so excited to see him.
Yeah, I like
seeing
him
a lot. Pull a little bit of charm through this fucking thing, I'm like, wow, imagine what he could do as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
The bond of, you know, the fake bond with depth underneath.
Yeah. No, I liked him in this movie. He was one of its only...
Yeah, so yeah, Robert Pattinson was good.
Yeah, he was.
The movie looks good. Special effects, obviously. Action sequences are fine. Nothing blew me out of the water. Right? Even the reverse stuff, I wasn't like, wow.
I thought it was cool.
That's neat.
I thought it was cool, too. I thought it was cool, too.
The charm of some cinematography, I think, is robbed from you because you edit all the time. So yeah. You see things so broken down different.
You're a prick. Pretentious. I thought it looked good. It looked like almost seamless how they're going forward and having the other guys go backwards. It's not jarring. It looked like, that car is reverse.
They pulled it together really well.
Yeah.
That's what I was earlier. Like, that was one of the first things I said. I was like, there's a technical achievement level here, because even though I know what reverse photography looks like, they still had to match it up with live action and straightforward photography, linear.
So and again, on the fighting, like the choreography of it, it looks like they're actually beating the shit out of each other. And the choreography of one guy going backwards, I thought that was pretty impressive, because they're actually doing it, you know?
Yeah, well, sure do. I think there's a lot of trickery there. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I think a normal fight scene, obviously technical is, I don't know. You're right. This is affecting me on a personal level. I've spent a lot of time. I've spent a lot of fucking time thinking about this. And it just angers me because I'm just going to plug us. We have a movie coming out in a few weeks.
Hopefully by the time this is out, it will be out.
The video side. Yeah. No. We spent $10,000, and what we did for that $10,000, even with fight scenes, which our fight scenes aren't great.
Not everyone's willing to jump off a balcony. You are, but most people
What we were able to do for that, when I see $200 million put into something, I'm like, by God, you better pull it. And from the director of Interstellar, I'm like, I need to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, I guess I am personally biased on this thing.
Yes.
And I'm taking it much more. My nose always gets itchy during podcasts, so I'm going to scratch that for a sec. Yeah. But it's pretty badly put together. However we lay it out, it's a misstep. And this is all I think about 24/7.
Tenet?
No, it's just editing. Oh. Editing and filmmaking
fucking
shit.
Haunted by Tenet.
No, I'm just saying, editing and filmmaking, is, I spend day in, day out thinking about 24 hours a day, and that's what I'm thinking about. So, when I see something that costs this much be this bad and incoherent, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
But it happens all the time.
It happens so often, right? But it never hurts less.
These complaints, it seems like it. These apply to tons of movies.
But when I see it from a good filmmaker that I respect,
it happens. It hurts. You made a mistake.
It hurts. Jesus Christ. It's a betrayal.
You've moved on faster. He needs more time. So
I need more time.
You made Lazy Joe's Kingdom.
I was fucking 12. You remember?
That movie was shit.
Put it next to Tenet.
Didn't make any sense. Fucking horse shit movie, dude.
That's a good call out. Thanks, bud. I'm sure it's still on YouTube. You can go find all my 12-year-old videos.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. I don't know. Is there not much more to say? We've been just
shredding Tenet for 55 minutes.
So you hate Tenet. I thought, it wasn't.
Yeah, I think
it wasn't.
I think I do.
It sounds like you hate Tenet.
I came in here going you know what? There's some really cool shit in that. The more I think about that cool shit, it's just outweighed by everything going wrong and everything. Oh, cool. You got a bunch of good actors. You got a bunch of good action. You spent the time and the money to get choreography, so they knew what they would do with their weapons. You had a fight choreographer come in and do all this reverse photography shit, and you undercut all that with a horrible editing
and
horrible screenwriting and pretty bad directing at points, because your actors aren't giving anything other than Kenneth Branagh, who's trying his ass off.
Who is that?
The bad guy.
Oh.
Which he directed the fucking the train movie.
Orient Express.
Yeah.
And he's the guy.
Right? And he's the guy, and he's doing the sequel, too. Kenneth Branagh's directed bad movies and good movies, but at the end of the day, he's Kenneth Branagh. But so he's trying his ass off in here, but you know what? His character's so horribly written that I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, he's such a prick. Yeah. Oh, well.
You know what?
It's a shame, because when I saw it the first time, I was like, I just need to watch it again and digest it. And I was like, well, I want to see it again because I love, you know, dudes in suits with nice watches, like infiltrating criminal. You know, like, that's a cool idea, you know. And then you go back and watch it and you're like, eh. It's not that clever.
Yeah. Six Underground's got people in watches with...
Yeah. Maybe I'll watch Six Underground.
Yeah, it sounds like you love Six Underground.
No, that's a very flawed movie, but I like it more than Tenet, I think.
I've never seen Six Underground.
It's really stupid. No, it's like Fast and the Furious, but
I'm good.
Yeah, but Michael Bay, so it looks better. And it's Ryan Reynolds who's relatable. That's more relatable than this piece of shit.
He's fine. I mean, he plays the same thing all the time, but
that's all he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie could be a lot better with some structural changes. I guess this would be Six Underground and Tenet review.
Just you shoehorning Six Underground into the Tenet review.
All right, because I did it because I watched Tenet. He came over. He was like, all right, let's watch this. Because okay. Yeah. And I think you had the same problem most of America is having. Where it's like, am I too dumb?
Yeah.
No, you were not too dumb. The movie.
The first time I watched it, yeah, because, again, with the dialogue. The second time I watched it with the subtitles, I was like, no. Oh.
I feel
they
like.
They just are. Vomiting out.
I feel like everybody who went and
see
this thing is like, oh, I think I'm too dumb.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, dude. He
like, this is Nolan, so I'm just dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, the movie's just incoherent. So the way I came away from this was the same way I felt when I watched Six Underground. It deeply, like, offended me that, like, I give Michael Bay credit.
Relax.
All the fucking time as being, like, this, you know.
It's going to be okay.
Even though he's not the best, and he's certainly no Chris Nolan, but, like, He's a filmmaker that I think there's a lot of talent there, and he does what he does well.
Michael Bay?
Yeah. Hmm. He does what he sets out to do well.
I watch all his movies, so.
Yeah. And so, and he makes everything look fucking cool. That's his whole thing. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Hey, cool
so I went into Six Underground, and I just walked away like, God damn it, how is that so incoherent? Like, more so than... It was exactly what everybody says about all the Transformers movies, where they're like, oh, they're so incoherent, bullshit, blah, 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 horribly edited. And I've never agreed with that until, like, the last few, or about any Michael Bay thing. But then I went and watched Six Underground, and I was just like, everybody was right. And then this movie, I walked away having the same exact feeling. And so I was like, all right, let me rewatch Six Underground. And... they're pretty fucking close. Except I like watching Six Underground more because I keep watching that. I don't need to watch Tenet again for another year or two.
I will never watch Tenet again.
I'm
good. I don't need to watch it. In a few years, I'm going to like be up one night and be like, you know what? I feel like torturing myself. Let's give that another chance.
It wasn't that bad. Maybe I didn't get it. Maybe I've grown as a filmmaker.
Yeah,
and then you're going to rage.
I'm going to have a self-conscious night where I'm like, maybe I'm just dumb. I'm going to give that movie another chance. And then I'm like, no, that's just horribly edited and written.
Yeah, no.
So maybe it's a good thing he never got a Bond movie.
Yeah. Well, there's some horrible Bond movies. He couldn't have done worse than, you know, 70% of Bond movies.
Yeah, that's probably true. Do you think if he had gotten Bond, he would have made this storyline?
Fuck no.
No? I guess they wouldn't have let him. The Brock.
That was the issue. He's like, this is the Bond movie they wouldn't let me make.
Oh, really?
He said something kind of like about that.
So maybe they went to him and he's like, well, I want to do this. And he's like, yeah. No.
The only way I will accept this is if it was a spite film. That's fine. Is there
a spite film? They told him no. I'm making this to fuck over somebody else.
Yeah, they told him no, and he went and did it to prove that he could. That's the only way. This is okay with me.
This would be a horribly failed spite film.
It's funny. It's a funny bit. So
spite films are some of the best, though.
I think it was just a swing and a miss. Maybe it was an idea that wasn't fleshed out to the degree that it needed to be, in conjunction with some faulty editing. I guess I heard that it was the editor's first time doing an action movie. He got.
Wow.
Did he do music videos before this? What the fuck? Why is it so?
I guess it was a. It was an editor who action movies were foreign to her or something. And
why wouldn't he just go with the guy who's edited all of his other?
I
action
think he was
movies?
Busy. I came across an interview. And,
I love that he was busy.
Yeah.
Like I'll wait the 6 months.
He wanted that 20%.
He wanted that goddamn 20%.
He
trying
went
to give
on
the
Indeed.
Guy the benefit of the doubt, you know.
Jesus.
You made the Dark Knight. So.
You have $200 million. Hire a better editor. Oh, he's never done this before.
Yeah. That's a vote of confidence. I mean, for someone who's never done it before, it's fucking cool. Like, if that's, like, where you're starting.
And you're given this movie where, like, hey, listen, people go backwards and forward.
Yeah.
And we're going to film this shit.
I don't feel like that's the guy you give the job to then.
I mean, it's feeling like he wanted to give someone a shot.
Gave someone a shot. Yeah.
I wonder how, is there only one editor?
I wonder.
I don't know.
Can we look that up? Because yeah, Michael Bay uses four editors. And you can feel it. But also, Michael Bay should be the top editor because he walks in the room and he's like, no, cut there. Yeah, four frames into that.
Yikes.
Cut here. You know what? He's got a fucking recipe because everything looks. If you watch everything on a cut basis.
A top search is Tenet editing bad. That's the third search when you look up Tenet. Edit. Jennifer Lame.
Good last name.
Ouch.
Appropriate last name.
Pun intended.
People are also searching, is Tenet a flop?
Yeah. I mean,
it says Tenet is technically a flop.
Tenet would be a flop if it didn't come out in COVID. I'm telling you, if this came out...
It'd be more of a flop if it came out in the height of theater.
If this came out in 2019, in the summer of 2019, this would have failed horribly.
Yeah, and it would have been competing against Bond. Ooh.
This was supposed to compete with Bond.
And it didn't, so...
There's no way it would have beat Bond. Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's... You got anything else?
Oh, no. I think I've said enough.
So Aaron hates Tenet.
I'm going to jump on and say I also hate Tenet. Go ahead and say
that.
And
he hates Christopher Nolan.
I love Christopher Nolan. Look at him say, I respect Christopher Nolan. I like all of Christopher Nolan's movies except for this one. I hate this one.
That's fair.
You hate it.
I throw hate around pretty freely. I hate it too.
The more I keep talking about it.
I think you're working yourself up.
Yeah, I am working myself
up. You need to relax.
No, you're right. You're saying the things you feel. You're on the right track.
Yeah.
I think you're on a track.
living on feelings.
I think you're on a track and you're just...
You can't trick yourself into liking Tenet. You don't like Tenet, you don't like Tenet.
I don't like Tenet, but at the end of the day, there is a lot of good stuff going on. But I am just so focusing on the bad stuff that right now I'll say I hit it. And I'm also, you know, buzzing. So like,
I'm also blackout drunk, so...
Yeah, I think I have some real issues with Tenet. That's where I'll leave it.
Okay. Yeah, not my vibe. But yours.
Closing statements.
This is what these are.
Again, it was entertaining. I probably won't watch it again. I'll just watch Bond movies again. I'll rewatch GoldenEye. And, yeah.
I might do a double feature to torture myself of this and Six Underground. Again.
Well, don't invite me.
I would also like to be left.
I did that the other day, but I might do it again. I don't know. It's an enigma to me.
Okay, well, you do that.
I feel like you really want to talk about Michael Bay.
Always.
Always. That's all he wants to talk about is Michael Bay or Fincher or...
People I deeply respect.
You know he has a signed Michael Bay picture.
Do you? Yeah. Why is that not carried with you everywhere? That's surprising. You don't have that with you all the time.
It's on the wall with a Jean-Claude Van Damme one.
Where?
Am I upstairs by my bookshelf?
And immediately upon hearing that, Christopher Nolan's like, well, fuck this guy.
Everybody who hears my film opinions and then I say something positive of Michael Bay, they're like, oh, this guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Immediately.
As you're wearing a Jason Takes Manhattan shirt.
You know what?
Like, Christopher Nolan, he's blue in this one.
I go down to the way I go about everything. I rate movies based off of what they are and what they set out to do, okay?
I feel like I can say all of your
Jason
words back to you.
Jason Takes Manhattan being a dumb honestly, it's a pretty terrible Friday the 13th movie. I just thought...
Is there a good one?
Yeah, 4, 6, 2.
Oh, boy.
So there's like 3 good ones. But like when they work is because they're setting out like what they set out to do is be fun, campy horror movies, right?
Yeah.
And when they do that right with a good story that kind of follows through, I attach to the characters, any extra filmmaking I get in when you try to set out to make something dumb, cool, right? So I appreciate movies when they set out to be, you know, like when they accomplish what they set out to be, right? This movie didn't know what it was trying to be, so it fails.
Okay.
Where Six Underground was trying to be a stupid, overblown action movie, and it works better.
Yeah.
Okay. This movie was like, oh, we're doing a Bond thing, but we're also going to be the most jacked up, fucking up its own ass corkscrew of a movie ever. And it fails at what it's trying to be, which is a commercial action flick, but you made the most convoluted movie of all time.
So convoluted. If I could say one word for it, convoluted.
Yeah.
Sums the whole thing up, in my opinion.
So you can make Critters, which is a shitty little 80s fun B movie, but at the end of the day, it's an 80s B movie. They set out to make an 80s B movie, and they made a good damn 80s B movie, so I like it, and I appreciate it for what it is. I'll watch... I go back and watch, you know, fucking Criterion movies, and I subscribe to the thing, and I'm like, oh, yes, the mise-en-scene. But at the end of the day, like, that's the movie it's trying to be, and the, you know, versus the movie it is. And when they ride the same line, you did it. Mm. I'll even like movies that don't do it right, like Batman vs. Superman, a movie I appreciate greatly. But at the end of the day... is a dumb comic book movie, but I got a bunch of extra art shit in there and interesting character shit, so, like, at least it's interesting. Where I go, I think about Batman vs. Superman far more than I think about Civil War, and they're almost the same movie.
Yeah.
But Batman vs. Superman is just much more intriguing because they're trying things.
Trying too much.
They're trying way too much, and that's why it fails.
Yeah.
Where maybe I should like that less. Maybe I just contradicted
myself. I like it less over time.
Me too. I remember I used to be really up on it, and now I watch it.
Batman vs. Superman?
Yeah, I rewatched Man of Steel.
You're rethinking things?
A movie I kissed...
Well, that was your test.
Yeah. I used to kiss Man of Steel's ass, and I just rewatched it, and I was like, that's paced really badly.
I still like Man of Steel.
No, it's good, but at the end of the day, it's paced really badly. Hmm. The editing's pretty off.
Well, that's that on time.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
So next week, people listening, we have Safdie Brothers.
So this is the second one.
This will be the second one. So happy second week of January to backpedal that. But yeah, so we'll have your guys's and then this and Safdie Brothers.
Who the hell's that?
Uncut Gems, Good Time.
Don't invite me.
You weren't invited.
Who is on that one?
It's gonna be me, Alex, and Connor. And if you want to do Safdie Brothers,
yeah, I would rather.
You want to do Safdie Brothers?
Yeah, we'll talk about it offline.
He's gonna do Safdie Brothers.
I'm gonna. I got some. things to say. All right, let's wrap it up.
All right,
peace out.
Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. Fuck out the audience. Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Brancher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot, you moron, you stupid bitch.